Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Some elements of the religious rite, having to kind of make a, dare I say, strange bedfellows arrangement with Donald Trump in order to continue fighting the culture war.
Once we reduce this to gospel, in quotes, then the doors are wide open to do anything else we want to in the theological realm.
It's not because of the man Luther. Luther would say, not me, Christ. Christ alone. Look to Christ.
Kids, we incarnate in Indiana. Have a mom who loves issues, etc.
The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. It's written by regular guests.
You stop and think about the kind of influence that one person has in the culture. There's the kind of person who is the pop star that you recognize their voice when you hear it on the radio, their picture in the paper or on television, and they may not have any influence whatsoever on you. They're just a familiar image. And then there's the kind of person who has a lot of influence, and whether you like it or not, and they may not be a household name. I imagine that when Hugh Hefner died a couple of days ago, there's about half the population who said, who died? Because, well, he's been around for a long time, but his influence on the culture, for good or for ill, I think some could argue has been significant. Although he seems kind of quaint in his old age and his rather tame magazine that some people read only for the articles and the interviews. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Friday afternoon, September the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Hugh Hefner and the sexual revolution with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute a little bit later. Regina D'Amico is going to join us from Illinois Right to Life. A bill was signed by Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner expanding taxpayer-subsidized abortion. Bad news all around. Pastor Peter Speckard will be with us after that to conclude our 5-part series on congregational membership. We're going to talk about some of the objections that are raised to church membership. Suzanne Venker joins us to describe the danger, especially to women and their sense of satisfaction with their husbands, of 50-50 marriages. And then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 4 sound bites we have for you. We'll play them 1, 2, 3, 4. And after you've listened to them, you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for one of those sound bites to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Joining us to talk about Hugh Hefner and the sexual revolution, and Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. Jen taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
This is the kind of question that my late mother probably would have boxed my ears for asking because it sounds so very smart, Alec. But was Hugh Hefner good for women?
Well, I'm not your mother, and I'm not in studio, so I'm not going to box your ears. But come on, Todd. No, he was not good for women. I mean, he did more to mainstream pornography than arguably any other person in American life. So it's not that the Playboy image is so terrible today compared with what's on the internet. But what he did was to make it respectable and mainstream to be titillating yourself with pornographic images. And so arguably he opened up the door to what we have today, which has certainly not been good for women.
Well, in that sense of opening the door, we were speaking with a guest yesterday about some media coverage of his obituaries. And this guest opined that Hugh Hefner was not so much a part of the sexual revolution as a precursor to the sexual revolution. What do you think about that?
Well, Well, it's true that I did not realize until I read his obituary how early Playboy had come out. You know, I guess the first issue was in 1953, the year I was born. But he did finance part of it. I mean, his foundation financed some of the early challenges to existing law about abortion and so on. And so, yes, he was a precursor, but he also certainly benefited from it and was on the sidelines cheering it on. So it was all part of that same movement that was rejecting this uptight lifestyle of the 1950s, supposedly the uptight lifestyle. And he was part of that. So, you know, is he a precursor or is he the thing? He is, in my mind, he is the thing itself. And not just a precursor. When people say the sexual revolution, sometimes I have the feeling they mean something that happened in the summer of 1968, and then it was all over, you know. But to me, the sexual revolution is a set of ideas that got going really arguably quite a while ago and are still rolling because they're impossible to fully implement. And so, therefore, you have to keep continuing the revolution in order to make the previous steps seem plausible or doable. You have to keep accelerating things. And so he was certainly part of that. I don't see how anybody can deny that.
I wonder about two aspects of his so-called philosophy, such as it is the Playboy philosophy, one of which was hedonism, that is, life is intended to be enjoyed, and the moral limits that we put on them are purely a construct of, he would say, a puritanical mindset in the United States. And the second one was kind of conspicuous consumption. Are either of those values, or have they both kind of been playing themselves out in the American culture? Not so much because of Hugh Hefner, but because he might have been more of an antenna or a barometer than a thermostat in that sense. He knew where things were about to head.
That's really an interesting point, Todd. Really interesting. We have to think about that to really fully plumb it. But I think you're right that the Hugh Hefner philosophy, as you say, such as it is, the Hugh Hefner philosophy is certainly about conspicuous consumption and hedonism. And those two things may have seemed harmless to the post-World War II returning GIs, you know, kind of thing. But people who had lived through the Depression, people who had just defeated Nazism, you know, maybe that didn't seem so bad. But now, for their grandchildren, it's clear that that's an empty promise, right? It's a dead end. We've gone as far down that path as we can go, or at least I hope we've gone as far down that path as we can go. But I think many, many people, particularly young people, see the emptiness of conspicuous consumption and the emptiness of hedonism. And that's where the gospel has something really to offer people, because Jesus made it very clear to us that that kind of stuff is never going to really make you happy. And we should have known that all along, that was a dead end.
He was an advocate of pre and extramarital sex, and he was also kind of a serial, well, I won't call him monogamist because he was hardly monogamous, but he married a lot and got divorced a lot.
I lost track. I was reading the obituary. I kind of lost track of how many times he got married. But he claimed he had 1,000 partners. He claimed that he had slept with 1,000 women. So that's kind of impressive, I suppose, in a depressing sort of way. But the thing about the sexual revolution is that nobody ever talks about the fact that sex is a procreative activity. So you can talk till you're blue in the face about contraception, but periodically sex is in fact going to make babies, and particularly an old man like Hefner, he can still conceive children with a younger woman. You know, I noticed he wasn't going out with women his own age. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
the
I noticed.
Girl, you know, he got married again. You know, but he didn't pick out somebody his own age. He's continued to be attracted to young, nubile, fertile women. That's what men find attractive, is women who are fertile. And you know, evolutionary psychology tells us that. Science tells us that. It's not that surprising that men are attracted to women who can procreate. And so, if that's the case, we have to have some regard for the children that are going to be conceived. And the traditional morality, the traditional sexual morality, that's what it did. It was considering the children all the time. And so what the Hugh Hefner philosophy does is to somehow neutralize the fact that sex makes babies and put that as far away from your mind as possible. Because that's what makes it obvious that it really is immoral and selfish, and that people are being hurt by it. It's not a victimless crime. That there is somebody there who is going to be affected by this, which is the child.
What makes him kind of an outlier in kind of the cultural elite, if you can call him that? As you've often pointed out, the cultural elite often kind of live the life that they want to deny to everybody else in terms of marriage and sexual fidelity. They tend to live more like Ozzie and Harriet, ironically. Although we have to say, for being a member of the cultural elite, Hugh Hefner did not live like Ozzie and Harriet, did he?
No, he sure didn't. And of course, what he was doing was making that lifestyle appear to be harmless. And so the cultural elites promote that lifestyle, and they believe in that lifestyle, and no evidence against it will convince them that they're wrong. But when it comes time to have their own families, they get married and they stay married and they take care of their kids, because if they want their kids to prosper, they have to live like Ozzie and Harriet. But they're perfectly okay with people living a lifetime without ever having any kids, and therefore never really caring about whether the social structure is in place for children to prosper. I mean, Todd, we could look at it this way. If we start from the premise that children are owed something, that children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are. If you start with that premise and then you reason outward from that, what you will end up with is traditional Christian sexual morality, the morality that every Christian church held to until 1930, that you only have sex inside marriage, you only have sex with the person you're married to, not before, not after, you stick there. And the reason you do it is because that creates an environment where children can have their just entitlements satisfied, And so for the sexual revolution to proceed, whether it's the Hugh Hefner variety or the Gloria Steinem variety, and they're, of course, opponents to each other on some level, but at a deeper level, they are agreed that children should not be in the way of the whole thing, right? So they have to neutralize or blot out somehow the impact of children and the way in which children are connected to society and the way in which children are connected to sex. They have to do that. And so, here's poor old Hugh Hefner at the age of 90, really looking kind of pathetic with these young babes hanging around him. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. Grow up, buddy.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is our guest, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about Hugh Hefner and the sexual revolution when we come back. It seems as though, typically, the feminists are somewhat silent with the death of Hugh Hefner. You'd think they'd have something to criticize there, but do they really? We'll talk about that after this.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Religious liberty. Christians engaging the media. The for you of Christianity. Christian marriage. The sexual revolution. The Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Hugh Hefner and the sexual revolution with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. She is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics at Yale and George Mason Universities for 15 years. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. You can meet and hear Jen making the case against the sexual revolution, as she often does here on these airwaves, at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Attendance is limited to 400. Jen will be joined by Molly and Mark Hemingway, Rod Dreher, Brian Wolfmiller, and Scott Murray. Registration is $120. That includes three meals. Child care is free, courtesy of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. You can find out more and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Jennifer, I haven't read all the obituaries, but I haven't seen a lot of kind of feminist reflection on Hugh Hefner. Most of the obituaries in the kind of popular media have been somewhat lionizing for Hefner. Why the relative silence from the feminist corner?
Well, I think the kind of feminist who would find Hugh Hefner objectionable, and there are many feminists who would find him objectionable, okay, not just Christian feminists. There are many feminists who would find him objectionable. They are not the kind of people who get a lot of attention from the media. The kind of feminist who gets attention from the media is the kind that celebrates the sexual revolution and that celebrates women participating in the labor force. Why? Because those are the things that make money. Okay, I mean, I hate to be blunt, but I think it's just that simple, Hugh. So, you know, I'm aware of certain kinds of left-wing feminists, anti-pornography feminists, those kind of people, people who think contraception is overprescribed to women. You know, there's some very thoughtful critiques of what's going on out there coming from people who aren't religious, but not all of them get equal time at the mic. And so I think that's what you're saying. I think there are plenty of feminists who get that there's a problem with Hugh Hefner.
You deal with college students all the time, and probably, yes. I would maybe disproportionately, I'm just going to guessing, young female college students.
Yes.
They probably, you know, kind of have a vague knowledge of Hugh Hefner, but he's before their time, as we say. If one of them said, who was Hugh Hefner and what's the big deal? How would you answer that question to one of these college students?
Well, I would say that he was a guy who mainstreamed pornography, who made it acceptable. And even though what he put out in the 1950s and 60s looks pretty tame by today's comparisons, he's the guy who made it okay. There was once a time when masturbating to pornography was considered shameful and embarrassing, and no grown man, no respectable man would ever admit to it. And now it's everywhere. It's so far advanced that you can't find anybody to date. You know, this is what I'd say to the college girls, and they know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the guy who mainstreamed pornography, and they would be not happy. I should say, not happy with the guy who caused that.
I wonder then, there have been others who've built on his work, obviously. You just described kind of the current state of affairs there, which maybe even Hugh Hefner, back when he was the pipe-smoking publisher of a avant-garde magazine, never even imagined either. He didn't think it would go that far. But you have said something here in our conversation that I want you to explain a little bit more, and that is the revolution must continue because it can never be fully implemented? Why can't it ever be fully implemented?
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about this at the Making the Case conference. Okay, so just people just need to know that they need to get down there to Houston and hear about this. But anyway, let's just take this one tenet of the sexual revolution, that sex and babies should be separated, can be separated, that you can build a whole society around the premise that sex doesn't make babies. Okay, newsflash, people, sex makes babies, okay? It's not possible to build an entire society around the idea that it doesn't, okay? And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. So once you're committed to that, and let's face it, most of the elite classes of our society, our government, law, politics, most of them are deeply committed to that position. The medical profession's committed to it. The legal profession's committed to it. That sex and babies should be separated. Once you commit yourself to that, there's no turning back. You can't turn around and say, this contraception thing's out of control. You know, we're prescribing vaccines against sexually transmitted diseases to fourth graders and actually even newborn babies. Something's wrong with this picture. You know, there's so many things wrong with this picture that you'd have to retrace your steps so far that not very many people are willing to do that. It takes a huge transformational shift to step yourself out of that paradigm and say, hey, you know, we've gone wrong. So therefore, instead of doing that, since most people can't do it, they have to keep patching up the holes where the truth of sex and babies being connected, where that truth keeps seeping out, you know, and it'll seep out on a daily basis if you let it, right? So therefore, that's part of the reason that the sexual revolution has become such an oppressive and really, I would say, totalitarian ideology. And that's what Hugh Hefner kicked off.
Are you then finally saying that the sexual revolution is fundamentally at war with human nature and reality as we know it? About 30 seconds.
Yes. See, it only took 2 seconds to say yes. Yes, it is. It's at war with human nature. It's at war with the human body, Todd. It's at war with the maleness and femaleness of the human body. It's at war with the generativity, the life-giving aspect of the sexual act. It's at war with the human body and nature. And that's why, in the end, it will collapse, but it's taken down a lot of people with it, and that's why the Christian community needs to resist it with all possible strength.
Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Todd.
Folks, you can learn more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute, and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Regina D'Amico talking about a bill signed by Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner expanding taxpayer-subsidized abortion. It's bad news. It's not unexpected. What does it mean for the future of Illinois and of taxpayer-funded abortions? Stay tuned.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons, preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.